Well done, thank you very much indeed. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. We are continuing in the foundations of a healthy church. We've done an overview. We've thought about ministry. Last time we thought about evangelism, sharing our faith. Let's turn to our Bibles then, Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to just read down to end of verse 9. So let's read together. Chapter 4, verse 1. Just a couple of milliseconds. People are still fluttering pages. You'll find it on page 1180 of the Brown Church Bibles. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is white, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Let's just pray, Lord God, speak to us through your word. Open our hearts and our minds to consider your purposes for our life, for our church. Amen. Amen. Could you just turn that off for me, Matt? Just thank you. Don't want to give the game away, so to speak. Now then, this is not a perfect church. As we today think about fellowship, I want to break the news to you, this is not a perfect church. In fact, on our welcome cards, we make that very, very clear. This is not a perfect church, we say, and they don't exist. Now, you might think that's not the greatest advertising for the pastor of the church to stand up the front and say to the congregation, did you work in PR before? No, I didn't. Were you expecting me to say that? And of course, in truth, there are no perfect churches anywhere, except maybe in our heads. Consider it for a moment. Is there a perfect church that one day you're hoping to be a part of? They just do not exist. And they don't exist because, unfortunately, even worse news, they don't exist because of people like me and you. And if you open that up a little bit more, you start to see that because we are imperfect, because we're not yet finished by God, because we're on a journey, because we are carrying with us, for right or wrong, hurts, sinful activity, because we're on a journey, we're working those things through, that is why the church is the way it is. But we say again what Scripture says, which is the church is God's. It belongs to Him. So whether it's perfect or imperfect, or whether it's work in progress, which it surely is, the church is God's. And probably the New Testament church, let's say this as a real statement of of understanding. The New Testament church had the same tension. I don't think we should somehow romanticize Scripture, that somehow in the beginning it was perfect. When you look at Acts chapter 2, verses, I think it's 42, 47, you have this image of the church sitting around and they had everything in common and so forth. It's in one sense, it's a perfect, lovely picture. But let us not for one moment think that therefore they had it perfectly right. Why? Because they too had people who were sinful people and who were working with struggles, and they too were working through what the church was meant to be. They didn't have superheroes, but they had something that was very real and that we should somehow tease out from the scriptures for ourselves. They had something which was that they were committed to covenant lifestyle. They were committed to covenant lifestyle. And briefly this morning, I just want to tease open what covenant life is. This morning, we gather around the scriptures. We gather around worship. And we've even gathered to share our story this morning. And we do so standing with each other to be in his hands and to be in his will, to hold each other. And this morning it strikes me that we gather, therefore, to lift one another up. We hold each other in the storms of life. We put ourselves out for one another beyond the norm, to go the extra mile. That's what we seek to do when we commit ourselves to a covenant life. We say we will go the extra mile for each other in terms of fellowship. We will pray for one another. We will bless one another. We will weep with one another. Because more than ever, the stories that we've heard this morning and the stories that being a part of a covenant church, a covenant that we're committed to, we know that there are many struggles in the life of a church. We weep with one another when we know the agony that some are going through. We express hospitality to one another. Time and time again, you will hear stories of food and drink. Cup of tea this morning for the chap you met outside your house. We gather around food that creates fellowship. We carry each other when we can no longer carry things ourselves. Sometimes we come to a place where we say, I just cannot do this faith thing. Just cannot go on. And at that time, we need to carry each other. We choose to worship in song and in word, sometimes once a month around the Lord's table. We break bread together. And we commit ourselves to the blessing and to the teaching of our children, with the aim of seeing them come through the waters of baptism and into church membership, that they will be the church of today. Now, I don't know, does that list say, yeah, I'm up for that kind of thing? For you, is that the kind of church that you would be a part of? Where we're open with one another, where we're sharing together, where they're journeying together, whether life be good or bad. And more to the point, perhaps parallel to that, we're together to open to hear God give vision in this place. And we share our faith together and with the community. We commit ourselves to be salt and light, because church is not where we are 7 days a week, thank goodness. We will go to places tomorrow where we will call our place of work or our place of community beyond here, and there God has called us to be salt and light. If you like, we're called to be salt and light in the alleyways, in the streets, in the housing estates, in the communities, in the schools, in the workplaces, where God has called us to be. And we commit to using our skills, our gifts, and our ministries in the service of the church. If God has given you a gift or a ministry, then you use it. As the poster I saw on my brother's wall when I was growing up as a child says, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Well, if God has given you lemons, make lemonade. No, if God has given you a gift, you use it. So we commit to using our skills and our gifts and our ministries in the service of the church, both to be and to do church. And we commit to giving a tithe of our money to the church, to enable the church to function and to happen. Now, that for me paints out what it is to belong and commit and to be part of a covenant life of the church. I've got some slides here, which one of you saw the first one. Let me just talk a bit about them now. Matt, thank you. And we do all of that list, we do it together. Because Jesus calls us to follow him together. And here we are this morning together. Because he calls people not to follow him on their own. He calls people to follow them together. He chose 12 disciples to do that initially. And then that reflected the 12 tribes. And thus he was recreating the people of God. So the church today is the people of God. And so commitment to covenant life involves commitment to each other. There's a thing that we call an aisle down the middle. It divides us. It shouldn't do. We commit ourselves to do it together. And into something that calls belonging to the church in a thing called membership. So in a human family, I guess when you go home today, you will find yourselves with other people in your house, maybe. Not the case over there. Just as you have brothers and sisters who belong to us, so whether we like it or not in this church, God brings people into the church whom he has chosen, not ourselves. And I always ask the question at this stage, as you look around, look around the church room, you know, would you have chosen people? It's tough, isn't it? Because God chooses us, and he chooses us of all shapes and sizes and experience and backgrounds. And these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we all belong to God, and we all belong to each other. And I always think at this time, you know, I'm not sure it happens so much in school playgrounds now, but I remember going back to when I was a child in the school playground, and we used to pick and choose football teams. Pick and choose two captains, yeah. Sorry, girls, if this didn't happen. It was a particularly boy thing. Netball, okay. And there'd be two captains, and always the best players would get picked straight away first. And within about seconds of the best players being chosen, you'd think, what's wrong with me? I'm a good player. And there's a reality check here that, you know, God doesn't do it that way. God doesn't do it that way. He chooses, he welcomes everyone. And he brings people into his church whom we might not pick for our team. God says tough. He chooses people to come in and he says, this is Christian community. Another thing we want to affirm this morning is that as people come in to this Christian community, that baptism initiates people into community. That people begin their Christian life in baptism. And so when we open up the pool over there and we see that happening, people coming in saying, I want to begin my life as a Christian, they are saying we want to begin that life within this Christian community of whatever church it is. So baptism is absolutely vital and at the center of our fellowship. Just in the same way as James shared this morning about Dorothy helping with a children's ministry group that was in need, just in the same way that when we dedicate children, as we're going to do next week, the congregation stands and says, we commit ourselves to helping children in this church be a part of the faith community to which we belong. And baptism being the point in the middle where they make that decision for themselves. So community and covenant life. And you know, early Baptistic flavored Christians talked of covenanting together. When they wanted to start a church, when they started this church all those years back, they said, well, what do we do when we want to start this church? What do we believe? What do we affirm? Well, we affirm that we belong to each other, that we're brothers and sisters in Christ, that we want to ensure that we grow together. This is what they said. One of the early Baptist leaders in this country, John Smythe, in 1606, says that summing up all that covenant talk, this is what it is to walk in Christ's ways. That's what we are doing to be a healthy church in terms of fellowship, to walk in Christ's ways made known, or to be made known unto them. In other words, God will speak to us as we gather, according to their best endeavours, whatsoever it should cost them. Well, I think that's a good way of putting it, a bit old Englishly kind of way. And he defined, therefore, what it was to be church by saying, two or more people joined together by covenant with God and themselves. So there is a commitment to a church, and we all need to decide what church we belong to, whether we're going to commit to this church or a church down the road. It doesn't matter, so long as you make a commitment to be a part of a fellowship that God has called you to join and to be a brother or a sister in Christ. Smythe goes on, for their mutual edification. Now, don't be a part of a church if you don't like it. Smythe says, do it for the good. Be there to bless and for God's glory. And there's a word here we don't like, which is the word committed. It's something that when we have people up the front to commit to a new covenant, we say, make a big stand here. Make a big promise. And in so doing, just like when we do with dedication, we ask brothers and sisters in Christ to stand up and look you in the eye and say, yeah, I want to stand with you and to walk with you whatever happens to you. This, therefore, if you're going to make that kind of commitment, this, therefore, you're saying is my spiritual home. And if you can say that this morning, if you're saying Wellington Baptist Church is where I belong, Wellington Baptist Church is where my spiritual roots are, then I say to you, commit to the covenant. Commit to the covenant. It's not a complicated thing, because when you look around this morning, you look around and you see the dear friends here, you look at hopefully the love in their eyes, and the expression of fellowship that comes across, you're saying, I want to journey with you. I've summed that all up. I've summed it up really ever since I became a pastor by trying to make it easy for people by saying, I'm here for you. This is what we say to one another. I'm here for you and you're here for me, and together we're here for God. In other words, as we come together we're saying to God, speak to us so that we can know what you want us to do. This, brothers and sisters in Christ, is the language of covenant. So, the way we are in Baptist-flavored crisp churches is quite distinctive. Now, other church traditions, even in this town, because we're a fairly typical town, do things differently. And to be honest, they often look at Baptist-flavored crisp churches and they say, grief, the way that you do church life is so foreign. I've had conversations with our dear friends who we do mission with at the parish church, and they say, you have committed church members? You have church meetings where you decide these things? Gosh! So the way that other churches do it is quite different. But our ecclesiology, our churchmanship, is therefore quite unique because it's all about relationship. And that is at the very heart of it. Someone said to me earlier this year, I just share this anecdote with you. They'd been committed to our covenant for 8 years, and they decided that God was telling them to move on. And they said, yeah, after all these years, I still don't understand what it is to belong to this church. And I think, well, it's because as you look around, this is it, folks. We are it. So I want to just, in two final points, just say a number of things. First of all, be committed to this covenant life. Don't moan about it. Be committed to this covenant life. Don't moan about it. You see, there is no ideal or perfect church. Look at the other choices. Every different way of doing church, whether you come from a Methodist background, whether you come from an Anglican background or a Roman Catholic background or a Brethren background or a Salvation Army background or a United Reform background or an independent house church, second removed, angels bless you kind of church, whatever kind of church you come from, let me break the news to you. There is no perfect way of doing church or of governing the church. There is no perfect way. And I'm not going to crack a funny joke at this point at the expense of any other flavor. And, you know, let's not fool ourselves that somewhere over at one of these independent new house churches, you know, that come along as the latest ring bells shine lights, that they've somehow got it all sorted in this way. Because, you know, you can't just make decisions and expect everyone to come along with you. You have to ensure when you make a decision in any kind of church that people say, yeah, we believe that's where we want to go. So no new shiny way exists of being church. The relational way is the relational way. So sure, you know, our congregational system of being a Baptist flavor crisp kind of church, it has got inadequacies, and I will be the first to argue them. I really will. But let me say this, if this is your home church, it's time to put away any arguments about, well, whether I should commit or whether I shouldn't commit. And do you know, oh, I don't agree with this and I do agree with that. You know, we can talk about those till the proverbial cows come home. They will never change. But I want to say, what's important is when you commit to a covenant. In the New Testament church, when people committed to the covenant, they had that lifestyle that we read about in Philippians. They were rejoicing together. They shared together. They shared people's pain and agony. They knew what it was to be church. It's possible to pull our system apart. It's possible to argue that there's faults here and there. But at the end of the day, what's important is your commitment or not? So, be committed. Don't moan about it. And lastly, I want to just say that being a part of this church, being a part of any church, is such a positive thing. When you're a part of the covenant, when you're committed to God's purposes, either here or down the road, down in North Street, down in a parish church, when you're committed in a place where you belong to, where God has called you to be, that is the best thing and the best place to be. And God can use you. And God can use you in leadership. God can use your gifts in ministry. God can use you and guide you and shape the church that you're a part of. I want to finish by asking this question. What if you say, I don't want to be part of all that? I don't know. Except that you are missing out. You're missing out, and we're missing out on you. We're missing out on all that you have to offer. We're missing out on your lovely humour and your lovely quirky ways. Being no shadow of doubt, churches can hurt. Churches can be painful places. And some of you know that. But that doesn't mean to say that we can't get past those things. If we're carrying hurts, it's time to lay them down. And it's time to say, God, do a new thing. And I come back to the place I started, which is saying, if the church is God's bride, if it's his church, and he's in charge of it, then we have to let go all that holds us back and allow God to do a new thing so that we can walk with him in fellowship and so we can be warmer in fellowship. We'll leave the rest, leave who said what of the past churches we've been to. We leave all of that to God. It's his business. And we allow God to do a new thing. So some of you, it's time for you to commit. It's time for you to commit. It's time no longer to be a passenger. It's time no longer to sit on a deck chair. It's time for you to be part of God's family. May God bless you as I look to hear from you in the days ahead as you make a decision to be part of the covenant life of the church.